like to offer a brief commentary on the gospel message before we stand for the gospel. In this passage, Jesus is preparing his disciples for what tragic and difficult events will soon follow. He is telling his disciples that they will scatter and forsake him. It is interesting in this, what we call pericope, that Jesus' disciples seem to finally surrender and listen to what he is saying. Jesus knew the humanness of the disciples. He knew that they would let him down, yet he trusted them. Jesus knew that in their weakness, they would desert him. Nevertheless, he tells them that they will be conquerors. Jesus is giving them the gift of his courage and conquest. Would you please rise for the gospel? Gospel is John 16, verses 29 through 33. And his disciples said, "Yes, now you are speaking plainly, not in any figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need to have anyone question you. By this we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world." May God's blessing be added to the sharing of this God's word. Would you please be seated? O God, may the words which I am about to utter and the privilege that I now assume be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Those of you get to know me, I'm a storyteller, but the consummate storyteller, of course, was Jesus. And so I'm going to begin by telling you a story about a little boy who went to the grocery store and he asked the clerk for a box of Dove detergent. Now, I don't know if Dove has been around and is still around anymore, but if not, you probably, some of you might recall Dove detergent. And the clerk said, "Son, what do you need that detergent for?" And the little boy said, "I want to wash my dog." And the clerk said, "Well, son, that Dove detergent is pretty strong for washing a little dog." And the little boy said, "That is what I want." He was determined. And the clerk said, "All right." And he sold him the Dove, but he advised, "Now you be careful when you wash your dog. That detergent is very strong. It might even kill him." And the little boy said, "I'll be careful." And he took the box of detergent home. About a week later, the little boy came back to the store, and the clerk recognized him, and he said, "Son, how's that little dog of yours?" And the little boy said, "I'm afraid that he's dead." And the store clerk remarked, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that your little dog had died. But I did try to warn you that that Dove was pretty strong to wash your dog with." And the little boy shook his head and said, "I don't think it was the Dove that did it. I think it was the rinse cycle that got him." Now, I share something humorous to kind of set up something serious. Sometimes, if we look back at our lives and we look historically at our life in general in this country, but also around the world, it feels like we've been through that rinse cycle, doesn't it? The last number of years has sent much of our sense of hope through the rinse cycle. The economic downturn of the past few years causes a man or a woman to fall into economic hard times, and they wonder if they will be able to provide for their families. And they ask the question, is there any hope? We look at our personal lives and take an inventory, with many of us having lost loved ones recently. Some suffer tragic loss or sudden loss, or some caught in the dark, deep depression or facing a sickness or a death. And we ask, is there any hope? Tornadoes ravaged the Southland. And prior to that, Hurricane Katrina, to which I was deployed, destroyed much of the Gulf Coast. And we still carry the horror, many of us, of 9/11 and what happened on the shores of this country. And other incidents define human sensibility. And we ask, is there any hope? If we could step back, I think, a moment from the specific content of the gospel without getting into what we call exegesis and all of those kinds of things and ask ourselves this question, what is it telling us? How does it apply to the tragedies and the adversity, the challenges of living? What would it say? What does it say? The gospel, I believe, is telling us something very significant. For in the midst of the most dark, depressing, despairing, and defeating of times, it was then, at another season, we call Advent and Christmas, that Jesus came into the arena of human affairs when Quirinius was governor. And that was not a good time, my folks, if you read the biblical history. There came hope, you might say. In reading John's gospel for this morning, you become aware that Jesus could read his disciples' minds, his hearts, like an open book. He knew that they would have to experience or confront much adversity in the time ahead. Because if you read beyond that passage, it isn't long after that that Jesus is arrested and crucified. Heartbreak, fear, isolation, and a loss of hope they would suffer. And Jesus speaks into their hearts these words, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I love those words. Perhaps we will never know how much has been born out of life's adversity, on the anvils of adversity, out of challenges, difficulties, and seemingly hopeless situations. Most of our psalms were born in the wilderness, even not just the songs of lament, but the songs of praise. Several of Paul's epistles were written when he was in prison or being persecuted. And the greatest thoughts, I think, of the greatest thinkers have all had to pass through the fires of criticism and persecution of some sort. Some of the greatest accomplishments of human life have come from persons who at one time or another were stuck in the depths of some personal hell. Ralph Waldo Emerson, and I love this particular quote, once wrote that hope never spread her golden wings but in unfathomable seas. Think about that. And this is exactly what the gospel is trying to tell us. Not to dismiss the tragedies of life, not to ignore that bad things happen, but in the midst of that darkness, there's the light of the Spirit of the living God. And no matter how terrible and oppressive the darkness will not overcome his light. And just when we seem hopelessly lost, Jesus whispers into our hearts that he has overcome the world, that there is hope. The author of the book of Hebrews, that Scott had read, is telling us that we have a sure and certain anchor of the soul in Jesus. I suspect that we've all learned in our lives how fickle it is to put our entire stock of hope or to use as an anchor the things of this world, haven't we? After all, life storms can rage and throw so much at us. And oftentimes, the lesser anchors that we hope will keep us from going adrift on life's sometimes turbulent seas do not hold fast, and only one does. Mark Twain and another man were walking to church one day, and as they stepped into the street, a heavy rain began. "Do you think it will ever stop?" the man asked. "It always has," Twain replied. Difficult or unpleasant situations, my friend, may seem to go on relentlessly, like the heavy downpour of a dark storm. Just last Thursday, I was down training a chaplain in hospice on Thursday, and then Thursday night, when I left the facility, I was driving back, and the snowstorm was hard. Of course, Chicago drivers are a little different than they are around here, I think, those of us who drive around Chicago to any extent. And I kept thinking to myself, even though I've got a four-wheel drive Subaru, kept thinking, okay, watch out for the other person. But I just said, slow and steady, slow and steady. And sure enough, I drove out of the storm, got into Racine, and it was clear sailing until I got home. And then I woke up in the morning, and we had 8 inches of snow on the ground. Storms come, but they also pass. And darkness turns to light. Some problems may feel so crushing, so persistent and consuming that it may cause us to ask, will it ever end? Is there any hope? When that doubt plagues your mind, remember that you are not alone in your darkness or your struggle. That even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, even though the earth should shake, the psalm tells us, and the mountains fall into the sea, even though we make our bed, as the psalm also tells us, in the pit of Sheol, God is with us to sustain us. If we are but willing to accept God's help, it's been said that through every trial and in the presence of every hardship, spirit-born souls are sustained by that hope which transcends all fear, because the love of God is shed abroad in all the hearts by the presence of the divine spirit. With God's sustaining strength and with the love of God expressed through caring human relationships, my friends, whatever storm you go through, you will make it through the storm. Last summer, I was walking through our backyard when I saw this little tiny spider, and I'm sure you probably witnessed something similar in your lives, seemingly suspended in the air right in front of me. I couldn't see what it was attached to. It looked as if it were just kind of floating there, yet upon closer examination, I noticed that it was climbing up a very long strand of spider silk. And I looked to see where that silk was attached, and it was to a limb of an immense maple tree in our backyard. And I thought, well, that looked utterly hopeless. There's no way that little spider was going to make it up to the top of that limb. To make matters worse, the wind was blowing briskly, causing that little spider to lose ground in its efforts to climb. It would go up a little bit, and then the wind would come by and knock it down even further. And I thought, well, this is really futile. And a part of me was thinking, maybe I should just take that spider and put it up on the branch if I could find a ladder tall enough to reach it. But you know what? Nobody had told that little spider that its goal was impossible, that its efforts were futile. That little spider didn't seem to be discouraged by its slips and its setbacks. It kept climbing, and eventually it did make it to that limb. A scientist and author that I'm very fond of, by the name of Loren Isley, describes our world as a place where even a spider refuses to lie down and die if a rope can still be spun to a star. Why do you suppose that so many people come to church on Christmas Eve and Easter? Holiday tradition, perhaps. But I've got another idea that I've, over in all of my years of parish ministry, that I actually still firmly believe. I believe that people are drawn to this place and others like it because on these holy of holy days, they know that these holidays should say something about hope and joy. And by the way, I believe that every Sunday should say something about hope and joy. And that they come, I believe, out of a yearning to have a sense of hope rekindled deep within their being once again. In closing, I'd like to share a story which includes the late world-famous chess champion Bobby Fischer. Now, he had his problems. He had his issues. But he was known the world over for his brilliance and skill in the game of chess. Now, there's a lot of folklore around the story that I'm about to tell. And I'm not so sure if the story is actually true. But it still does not diminish the power of the story that I'm about to share. One summer, as the story is told, while vacationing in Europe, Bobby Fischer continued what was his favorite hobby, visiting art galleries and museums. In one particular museum, he came across a very interesting painting. The picture so captivated him that he stood there for nearly 6 hours, it is reported, studying, staring intensely at it. As you might imagine, since he was a master of chess, the picture was of a chess game. It was, however, like any other game he had ever seen. On one side of the board sat the devil with a smug smile on his face, and on the other side sat a young man with tears rolling down his cheeks, sweat cascading down his brow, biting his fingernails nervously. The devil was reaching out to make his last move. The young man was terrified at the prospect of how the game would end. One look at the name of the painting reveals why the devil was smiling. And the young man was petrified. The name of the painting was Checkmate. As the devil reached to make the last move, there was absolutely nothing, apparently, that the young man could do to resolve or change his situation. Having stood there for several hours, Bobby Fischer finally said to somebody standing nearby, "Bring me a chessboard." He duplicated on his board the game that was portrayed in the painting, as exactly had the pieces set up just as they were in the painting. And after a few more moments, a smile came across Fischer's face. And he said, "Young man, I wish that you could hear me, for I have some good news for you. Things are not as dark and bleak as they seem. I have studied this game for more than 6 hours, and I have discovered that it's all right to allow the devil to make his move. Because after he makes his move, I have found there is one more move on the board. Let him make his move. You will be the one who says, 'Checkmate,' because there is one more move on the board." My friends, whatever pain or suffering or struggle you bear, whatever darkness you may be walking through, please do not give up on the God of hope. He has not given up on you. Do not give up on life. God has overcome the world. God is with us and for us, telling us that there is one more move on life's board. And in liaison with God, it will be you and I who will say, checkmate. There's one more move on life's board.